that you're here. Amen. If we'd open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, and we'll read from verse 11. Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass and herbs and seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself, upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herbs, and yielded seed after his kind. And the trees yielded fruit, whose seed was in itself after its kind. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the third day." And also, if we turn to Hebrews chapter 1, and we'll read from 1 through verse 5. "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners, he spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by Son, or in Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and notice, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, be made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father, we once again approach thee this morning under the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, whose blood carried it in it your very life. We know the sperm and egg were formed around your blood cell, as Brother Branham called it, your very life that you wrap yourself in. And we know we have access to your blood because we're walking in the light as you are in the light. And we know that even before your Son Jesus was brought forth into that body, he was your original spoken word seed. And in that seed was life, because it came forth from thee, O God, because you are the great fountain of life. And before the foundations of the world, when you begat your firstborn, he came forth in your very image. And we know that when a body was prepared for him to live in, it was you, Father, that prepared that vessel for your Son to tabernacle within. And we know and understand that body was projected from your mind into that image, your very own image, Father, because we understand that every seed must come forth in the image of the original life that it came from. Therefore, Father, we pray that you would help us to know our source of life and to help us just to let go and let the very nature of you, Father, come forth as it was ordained before the foundations of the world to come, in order for us to live as you ordained us to live. For in him we live and move and have our being, for we are also his offspring. And so, Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come before you this morning. And we pray, Lord, that your word would magnify your name. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Now, this morning I would like to continue in our study of Brother Branham's sermon, "The Spoken Word is the Original Seed." And I just cannot help but to see that we have a need today more and more to come into harmony with the foreordained image that God had in his mind and that he has projected forth to be manifested in this hour. Yes, to be projected forth into manifestation, because we were in his mind, and in this hour God is projecting forth a bride or an elect children. And just as the scripture declares the projection of God into that body of his Son, in which that body of the Son became the very expressed image of God to man. Notice in Hebrews 1 and 3 again, who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person. And I like the way the NIV puts it. He is the light being the outraying of God. Now, first of all, let's look at the word expressed image. It says here, he is the express image of his person. Now, the word express means to set forth. It means to manifest or to show forth. It means to make known or to convey a representation or to represent. I like this next one. It means to squeeze out or to press out. To send by special messenger. And in genetics, A, it means to cause itself to produce an effect used of a gene. The gene expressed itself. B, it means to manifest the effects of a gene. The people who inherit the gene express it. C, to manifest a genetic trait. All in the study express a trait or nature. And it is interesting that in our dictionary, over half the definitions concerned with this word express have to do with genetics, expressing an inherited trait or nature. So when it speaks of he was the express image of God, it's telling us that that word express lets us know that it has to do with the genetics of God. He was expressing the very nature of God. And so in Hebrews 1 and 3, we're told that Jesus, in reference to God his Father, that he is the express image of his person. Jesus is the express image of God his Father's person. And as I've mentioned before, this word person that Jesus is expressed image of, we all know that it speaks of God himself, his Father. Yet in Hebrews 11 and 1, Paul uses that same Greek word, hypostasis, when he says, now faith is the substance. Faith is the hypostasis. And that same word was used in Hebrews 1 and 3, and where it says that he was the express image of his person. The word person is hypostasis. So basically then we find that now faith is the person, you see, of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is the person, not a substance, but the person. Then if you do not have that person, how can you have faith? For faith is the person. Faith is the substance. And we know faith is revelation. So revelation is the person. There's only one revelation. That's the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see? And so faith is the substance, the person that we hope for. In 2 John 9, we read, if you do not have the doctrine of Christ, you do not have God. And therefore, God, who is the Holy Ghost, is what we hope for. He is the substance of what we hope for. He is the evidence of what we do not see, taste, feel, smell, or hear. Because he is the invisible, immortal King. And so we see that Jesus was projected from the mind of God into physical substance as a person, in order to reflect the very nature of God to a lost and dying world. Now, Brother Branham says from his sermon, Identification, he says, but when he seen that his creation had fallen, now his own loving character molded himself into the person of Christ. So God molded himself into the person of Christ. God's own character of love projected himself into the man, Christ. As Paul speaking here, thinking it not robbery, but making himself equal to God rather. See, his own character molded that kind of a person. Oh, no one could ever do that but God. And last week we heard what Brother Bram said about him from Sirs We Would See Jesus. He said, now, Jesus was born for one purpose, and that was for God to manifest himself through that body. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. He was a body that was made physical, that men and women could see what he thought, and his expressions to the people in his gratefulness. And his attitude towards all mankind, he expressed it through Christ. Christ seemed to be a dual personality. He would speak sometimes, they scratched their heads, they didn't understand him. He'd speak one thing one time, looked like, and something else another time. What it was Jesus speaking and then Christ speaking. Jesus was the man, Christ was the God that was in him. Not me that doeth the works, my Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. See, God will not share his glory with no one. So we see then that Jesus became, not he wasn't born the expressed image of God, but he became the expressed image of God. You see, that little baby that was born had no character, had no nature. You see, or what he did have, like Brother Branson, that little oak tree has, that acorn has everything in it, but it's not expressed yet, but it has everything in it to become a mighty oak tree, you see. So you see, that is exactly what the Apostle John said in 1 John 1 and 1. That which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we've seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So we saw the literal source of life live itself out among men in the body of his Son. God expressing himself in his Son. Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father also. Why? because he was so one with God that all he did was what the Father showed him to do. He said, the Father worketh and the Son worketh hitherto. Brother Branham said that's because he saw a vision. And he acted out exactly what he saw in vision. So it was the Father in vision, and he acting out became the manifested expression of God to the people. Now, Brother Branham said in his sermon, Christ is identified the same. He said he was the manifestation of God. He was God in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. He was expressing what the Father was in himself. He said, I do always that which pleases the Father, and I and the Father are one. The Father dwells in me. When you see me, you see the Father. In other words, he expressed God, the Spirit, so much in him that he and the Father, it wasn't robbery for him to be the same person. And if we could just get a hold of what I'm trying to bring out this morning, is that Jesus Christ thought it not robbery to be the same person. He wasn't the same person, but he thought it not robbery to express the same person. You see, manifest the same person to the world. Now, you might think, well, how could two beings be one? How could another person become the other person? You know, you always heard the oneness people in the message, they have this, you know, well, there's only one personality, and, you know, person only has one personality, and therefore, you know, he wasn't two persons, it was one person. And so that's their argument for God being Jesus, you see. But notice Brother Branham is letting us know that you can have two persons with the same personality. You see? Because Jesus was such an expressed image of the Father. He was such a plate of glass that God could reflect himself from that image. And that image became the very person of the expressed in the Son. So Brother Branham always taught us, if you have the spirit of Dillinger in you, you'll rob banks. And if you have the spirit of Beethoven in you, you'll create music. So if you have the spirit of God in you, you will do the works of God. Because we are three parts of our being, we're a three-part being, and two parts of us is spirit and soul. So two parts is actually, spiritual. It's invisible. There's only one part that's physical. And that's the flesh, this outer mask or this outer vessel for our spirit and soul to dwell in, to live themselves out through. Therefore, if we're born again and God's very own life is growing up within us, then should not that spirit act out its very nature in your flesh? Should not the very nature of the life that is taking over your vessel project that nature through your vessel? You see, we're looking at something here that I believe that the bride, when Brother Branham said, when she knows her position, she's going to go. You know, beloved, now are we sons of God, but it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, when he shall phaneru, we shall be like him. Why? Because we see him as he truly is. And seeing him as he truly is, we become in that same image. Now, from his sermon identification, Brother Bramson, now we notice that if you were in that day, what group would you be identified with? With the prophet, with the vindicated word? Although they were in the minority? Or would you be with the popular opinion folks? Well, I tell you, I believe that that man's crazy. And the only way that you'd ever know that he wasn't crazy is for the same God to reveal to you the same thing he revealed to Moses. You see what I'm talking about? He said, the things that are hidden belong unto the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong unto you and your children forever. So is this just Brother Branham's message we're preaching? If it is, it's not going to do you any good. It's got to become your message. It's got to be what you're preaching, what you're living, what you're exuding. You see, you know, people always want to pin it on somebody else. Well, you know, God sent a prophet. Glory to God. He came with a message. Glory to God. Well, God raised up a teacher behind that prophet. Glory to God. What a great teaching he had. Glory to God. What about you? Where do you fit in this? Let me just read that again. The only way that you'd ever know that he wasn't crazy is for the same God to reveal to you the same thing he revealed to Moses. And the only way that we'll ever be able to be the images of God and the sons of God is for God to reveal to us and express himself through his word to us and to the world. That's the only channel for Christ was the image here on earth, that you could see God in a man. expressed image of God, because God was in him so much that they were one. Now when Christ left, he sanctified the church that the church might take his place and express the word of God. See, that's the only way it can be done. Oh my. Would you be with the popular folks who had the popular opinion? As long as I belong to the church, and maybe because I dance in the Spirit, I'm all right. Maybe because I've spoken in tongues, I'm all right. Or maybe we've got a good pastor and I'm all right. Now, those things are loyal. I have nothing to say against them. That's true. But this plan of salvation is an affair, is an individual affair with you. Speaking in tongues is a gift of God. Dancing in the Spirit is a gift of God. In the Spirit is the presence and glory of God. But for you to let your character be molded into the image of God, that he projects himself, and you are his idol walking on the earth, the expressed image of him. Now, would you be willing to do that in the days of Noah? Or would you have been on the critical side, criticizing both the prophet and his God-sent message? Now, think of it. Which side would you think, in your present estate now, would you took? Now, be honest. Pardon me. There's no need for me trying to say that. But you got to think it yourself. So what's Brother Branham telling us? He's saying, look, there was only one Moses, only one Paul, only one Elijah. But he said, you become part of that by receiving what they bring. You see? He said, Paul wouldn't have had a ministry if it had not been for a people to believe it and receive it. Jesus wouldn't have had a ministry if it wasn't for the people who believed it and received it. You become that. God projects himself through you. You become his idol, walking on the earth, expressing the image of him to a lost and dying world. So we see that God wants to project his very life, his very nature, into and through your vessel, as he did through his own son. In fact, Brother Branham said that God had a threefold plan. First, to project himself through his son, then his other children he calls his church, and then finally to fellowship with us like he did with Adam back in the Garden of Eden before the fall. From Christ is the mystery of God revealed, Brother Branham said. Now that's when he can express the preeminences, you see. He's got the man or the person so that he knows nothing but Christ. You get what I mean, all right? First, to express himself completely, God in Christ. Second, to have the preeminence by this in his church, which is his body, his bride, so that he could have preeminence to express himself through them. All right, and thirdly, to restore the kingdom to its rightly position that fell by sin, by the first Adam, back to where he walked in the cool of the evening with his people. He talked with them, he fellowshiped with them. And now sin and death has separated them from his presence and his entire expression. So what's the threefold plan of God? First, to express himself in his fullness through Christ, his son. Second, to express himself through you, his sons and daughters. Thirdly, now he can have fellowship with you. Hallelujah. From Christ the mystery, he also said, first to express himself in Christ, and then he expressed himself through the church, and the same thing, Christ was the Word. And the church become the Word when it lets the Word go through them. But when you accept the hybrid denomination, how can the Word go through it? It's grounded. And then it causes a short, it blows a fuse, see? But when the current is free-flowing, the Word of God expresses itself. The works that I do shall you do also. And in the last days it shall come to pass, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet, and he shall turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the fathers. And in there'd be a time come forth when he could express himself in fullness of his Godhead deity through his church, that he could have the preeminence in his church. Oh my. What? The anointed man, now the anointed people. Oh my. To bring back the anointed bride and the bridegroom. Anointed by what? Accepting what Eve turned down and Adam, coming back with the anointing of the Word. Because he said, my Word is Spirit. See, anointed with the Word. What Eve turned down, he comes back and we accept. Now remember, God walked in the cool of the evening with Adam and with Eve. And they turned down that message. But God has come down with a message again. And he said, this time we're ordained to receive that message. Hallelujah. From the message, Shalom, Brother Branham said, no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten of the Father has declared him. See? In other words, God was identified. The person of God was identified in the body, the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was the expressed image of God, or God expressing himself through an image. See, through a man, an image. God expressed himself to us, and he was God. Not a third person or a second person. He was the person, God. He was God himself, identifying himself so we could feel him. As we read in 1 John 1:1, you know, the life was manifested, and we've seen it, we've handled it. From the message, I was with Moses, Brother Bram said, when Jesus of Nazareth, I believe that the Father was in him, that all the great things that was the Father's was given unto his Son, all the great blessings and gifts, for he was just expressed image of the Father. And in him dwell all the richness of God dwelling in him here. Looking up. And he said, I and my Father are one, my Father dwelleth in me. Just as Jehovah, just what Jehovah was, Jesus was. He was the expressed image of him. He was God shaped out here, and all the powers of God formed into and put into a human body. And he said, it's not me that doeth the works, it's my Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Now, from the spoken word is the original seed, paragraph 21 and 22. Brother Bram is telling us that every seed must come forth or express the nature of its kind. And we know he is talking about the Son of God coming forth or being projected as the very image of the Father. But in paragraph 23, he's telling us that the Word of God keeps going on and on and on and on. As if to tell us that God has other seed also that must come forth and be projected into the same image, reflecting the same nature. So from identification, he says, now therefore his loving character of love. Oh, for us, it makes plain, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. God projecting himself and become man, that he might have upon him the form of his creation. In other words, he changed his tent. He spread it amongst human beings, and the infant Jehovah, crying in the manger, could you imagine it? It ought to alarm the hearts of the believers, and that was all. And that was all done. Could you imagine Jehovah being a baby in a manger in a stable of manure? Could you imagine that? Could you imagine little Jehovah playing as a boy? It's an example. Could you imagine him as a teenager? Could you imagine him in the carpenter shop? And could you imagine him in such complete obedience to God, dying on the cross to redeem his fallen creation? That's the kind of love that God had, and he had to become that in order to die to hold the sting of death. And from Christ as a mystery of God revealed, he said, God is not known by education. He's not known by how to explain. God is known by simplicity and the revelation of Jesus Christ in the most illiterate people. See, not your theology. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. You see, a lot of people, Brother Vales told me many times, he said they've got it, but they don't got it. Oh, they can mouth it. They can parrot. They can say the same things, but they don't got it. Their life shows they don't got it. You see? Not your theology. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. Upon this rock I'll build my church. No other rocks accepted. No other things accepted. No other Roman rock. No other Protestant rock. No other school. No other nothing. But on exactly the revelation of Jesus Christ in a new birth. He is born in there and injects his own life, and your life is gone. I like that. He injects his life in you, and your life is gone. And the life of Christ is projecting itself through you with the preeminences to the people that they see the very life, the works and signs and wonders that he did is doing the same thing through you. Outside of that, the rest of it's not even called to at all. And from who is this Melchizedek? Brother Branham spoke of projecting God life into his Son, and he called it enmorph. He said, and now the Greek word enmorph means that he changed his mask, and that's what he did. It's the same thing God, it's the same God all the time. God in the form of the Father, the Spirit, the pillar of fire, the same God was made flesh and dwelt among us, enmorph, brought out so he could be seen. And the Vines dictionary, Greek dictionary, tells us that the meaning of enmorph is the form by which a person or thing strikes the vision. Now think of that word, strikes the vision. The form by which a person or thing strikes the vision. Let me put it plainer. The form by which a person strikes the vision. Faith is the person. He was the expressed image of the person. The amorph is when the person of God struck the vision. A external appearance. Now, I like that because faith is the person and Jesus was the exact expression of the person. And the amorph is the form by which the person strikes the vision. Now, what does that mean, to strike the vision? It means, as we see on the wall here, before service, we have just a blank wall here, like you see right now. But when I turn on this projector, the light strikes the wall. And the vision that is in the light, notice, the vision that is in the light strikes the wall, projecting to you the image that is in the light. And if you walk in the light as He is in the light, then you have fellowship, and fellowship is two fellows in the same ship. And you and God are walking hand in hand like Enoch did. And if you are truly walking in the light, then you and He become the self-same person. Look, I could do this. I could just stand in front of this light and project it off of me. And you'd see the self-same, whatever is coming through that light, you're going to see it in me. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about God projecting His life through you. That's why the bride is without spot or wrinkle in her garment. Why? She's a perfect reflector. You don't want spots and wrinkles on your projection screen. It distorts the picture. So she's without spot or wrinkle. She's a perfect reflector. As she walks in the light, as He is in the light. And I think it's astounding today that several months ago, Prince, Prince Charles. He didn't want to go, I think it was in Bahrain. He didn't want to make the trip. He wanted to save his carbon footprint for somewhere else, I guess. And so he didn't go, but they set up a holograph. They set up three projectors. I think it's interesting that three is perfection. They set up three projectors, and they were able to holographically have him address a group there. He just appeared in front of them. And he talked, and he gave a speech. He listened to their applause. He was able to respond to their applause. And then he disappeared. Light technology. They have these same things today. They have these, and I've seen it, you know, where they have, they can project an image of a fish swimming right through this room here. You see, God wants to project through light into you, the light of His glorious gospel. He wants to project His life in you. But you got to come to the place where you just let go. And you let God. You see, you're so, you know, you gotta have it my way. Gotta have it my way. No, you don't. What is so important that you gotta have it your way? What is so important in life that you can't let go and let God? Just become an empty vessel so He can fill it. The light strikes the wall. The vision that's in the light projects upon the wall the image that's in the light. And if you walk in the light, as He is in the light, then you have fellowship. And fellowship, as I said, is two fellows in the same ship. So you and God are in the same light, having fellowship. His vision through the conduit of His light strikes you, and you reflect Him. That's what we saw in this hour through William Branham. He learned to get out of the way. Brother Branham said, the greatest gift is to get yourself out of the way. Then it is no longer you that's living, but it's Christ that's living in you. You are crucified to yourself, but nevertheless you are still living. Yet it's not you that's living, but Christ is living and expressing Himself through you. And the life that you are now living in your flesh, you are living by the faith, by the revelation of the Son of God, whose faith is living itself out in your life. Christ living in you. Christ in you. The hope of glory. Colossians 3 and 4 says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with Him in glory. With Him in the same opinion, assessment, the same values, the same judgment. So if we appear when He appears, if we manifest in our true identity, when He manifests in His true identity in this hour, then He says that we shall appear with Him in glory. With Him in the same doxa. With Him, we'll have the same opinion He has, the same values He has, the same judgment. In other words, we are to manifest when He manifests with the same mind that was in Christ. Then if it is the same mind, then it will be the same attitude that He had towards His Father's Word. Then shouldn't we have the same atmosphere and attitude in our homes that we have as we sit and hear His Word in church? In 1 John 3 and verse 2, He says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that has this hope in Him purifies himself even as He is pure. How do you purify yourself? You get your own thinking out of the way. How do you purify the trash basket? Take the trash out. Right? How do you purify your own self? Get rid of your own thinking. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. Then if we believe that when He appears, we are to be like Him, then wouldn't that create an atmosphere around us like He had? It did with Brother Branham because he was so yielded. He was an obedient son. Why then are we not seeing the same thing among the church today? Shouldn't we have the same atmosphere in our homes as we do in the church, which is a house of prayer? In Ephesians 3 and 20, we read, Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And the word worketh is translated from the Greek word energio, like the word energy. And it means to display one's activity, to effectually work, and it speaks of the energies of the one doing the work. So notice, now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him, unto His power that works in us. Under His power that energizes us. So what are we energized to do? What are we energized in life? What is it all about? It should be about reflecting Him. Doesn't matter what occupation you have. He was a carpenter for a while. You see, till God called him to do other things. Whatever your job is, you should be reflecting Christ. So our own predestination comes forth from God's own purpose. He said, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him. God's own purpose in which He worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. And this word worketh is also the Greek word energio of God. And it means to show forth oneself. Therefore, it is the expression of the one who is doing the work. It is an effectual, fervent effort on behalf of the one it is directed towards. God working in you to do His will. To will and to do His will. You see, we even need God in us to help us to will to do His will. Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. You see? Because as long as you have your will, it's not going to get done. Or not going to get done the way God wants it. So God in you working to will. And to do His good pleasure. So you see, then it's not you doing the work at all, but just getting out of the way and letting Christ live out your life in you, for you, through you. Now you might ask, how can I get myself out of the picture so that God can live my life for me? Wouldn't that be great? To have God live your life for you? Well, first of all, He is the Word. And He is the life. He's the fountain of life. And He is love. Now, Jesus said, Spirit and truth. He said, My word, He said, is spirit and life. So the life must be governed by the Spirit and all in accordance to God's word. That is the governing agent or the boundaries that we have in living this life. Is that God's word is the conduit. And as long as the life is living itself out within the conduit of the Word, then we know that it is God's life. Let me just explain this. John said in 1 John 9, he said, He that transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Now, that word transgress means to go beyond the limits. So he that goes beyond the limits of the doctrine of Christ hath not God. So the doctrine of Christ has limits. It has constraints. We could say from the birth to 33 and a half years old, we could say at birth, was this God in Christ? No. Not really. This was not John 1 and 1. But at the River Jordan at 30 years old, now we have John 1 and 14. The Word became flesh. So what do we have here? At 1 years old, 2 years old, 3 years old, 12 years old, Brother Adam said God wasn't in him. His Father wasn't in him. So there's boundaries. There's a constraint. There are certain defining parameters to the doctrine of Christ. He that hath not the doctrine of Christ, he that transgresses, he that goes beyond the limits, so we have the Word as our limits. Okay? But now we also have the Spirit. The Spirit is the energy. The energy. It's the life. It's the nature that lays within those limits. And then we have love. Love gives the dynamics to the energy, to the life. You see, love is a motivating factor to living that life within the confines of the Word. Now look, we have people who are very legal. And they say the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. And then we have those who are very charismatic. And they say the Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit. And they're both wrong. Or both half right. Cup could be half empty, half full. But it's the Spirit governed by the Word. Jesus said it must be Word and Spirit, Word and truth, or Spirit and truth. And what governs the Word? Or what motivates that? What influences that? It's love. For God is love. The Word without love is legalistic. Love without the Word is in danger of lust. But God is both the Word and love, and He is the life. So our life molded by His Word and governed by His love, motivated by His love. In Galatians 5 and 6 we read, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, by faith, but faith which worketh by love." Notice Paul tells us again that our faith worketh by love. The word for worketh is the same Greek word energio, and it means that it is energized. So our faith is energized by love. So we have the Word as your boundaries. It's your constraint in life. You see, your DNA only allows you to do certain things. I could jump all I want to, and I could never make it over 12 inches. That's when I was in my prime. White man can't jump. I just can't jump. I don't have the DNA to jump. I could pole vault, but I can't jump. But I've seen guys that could jump. You know, they got a 36-inch vertical jump just standing there. That's half of my height. And I try to jump off the ground, and I get 6 or 7 inches. I just can't do it. My DNA constrains me. All right? Even when I wasn't 220-some pounds, when I was 178 pounds. Now, I could do a backflip. I could stand in one spot, do a backflip. But to get my feet 12 inches off the ground without bringing them up and tucking them up to my chest, it couldn't get me to do it. So my DNA has limitations. So the Word of God has limitations. Because there's certain nature that Word provides in that life. My words are spirit and they're life. There's a certain nature that it's confined to. But what motivates it? What energizes that life is love. And if all you've got is the Word, the Word, the Word, you're a legalist. And if you just got, the Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit, you're just flighty. You've got to have that control, that governing. You got to have the Word governing. But you've got to have a motivation to that life. People go through life without motivation. They end up in bad situations. You've got to have a motivation. And if the motivation isn't love, it's a wrong motivation. For God is love. Now, Brother Branham said from personal experience with God, he said, oh, we say we have faith, we have love. But if we had love, we'd have faith. For perfect love casteth out fear. And when fear is gone, faith is perfect. That's why I've never understood where preachers use fear on the people all the time. They preach fear. Perfect love casts out fear. When you've got a relationship with your Father, like Brother Branham said, he said, I can do anything I want to do, but he said, I wouldn't want to displease Him. Now, that's not fear. That's love. Because when you love somebody, you want to do what you can to help that person. The Apostle Paul said, our faith worketh by love. Therefore, we must first have love in order to bring forth our faith. From Wisdom versus Faith, he said, the disciples that I sowed, disciples had it sowed into them. Then the Spirit come to energize the word. See? Not by power, not by might, not by wisdom, not by understanding, not by this, that, or the other, but by my Spirit I will energize my word. By my Spirit, says the Lord, it's the water of the word of faith that energizes the word of God and makes it work. In 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3 we read, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Now notice, Paul speaks of works of faith and labor of love and patience of hope. And the word of means out from. Having a source from. Therefore, we can read it as springing forth from, or springing out from your faith, your revelation, and your labor which comes forth as a result of love. It is the love which produces it. Love then is an energizing power. Now, in reading from the Weiss translation, we get a better appreciation for this. The Weiss translation says, remembering without ceasing your work which is produced and characterized by the faith which is yours, and your toil which is motivated and characterized by your divine and self-sacrificial love, and your patient endurance under trials which finds its source in your hope which rests in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of God, even the Father. Notice what Paul is telling the church at Thessalonica. Several years later, when he writes to them again, 2 Thessalonians 1 and 2, he says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly and the love of every one of you toward each other aboundeth. Paul saith, your faith is growing and it is showing in the way that you treat one another. You see, when you find people holding grudges, and when you find people just, you know, nitpicking everybody, you know, a person, it just shows an immature faith. But Paul says that when your faith groweth, it's shown by your love expressed toward one another. John said, how do you say you love God when you can't even love your brother? You see? Now, from investments, Brother Branham said, Jesus Christ was the expressed image of God. He was what God, through His power, projected. A body which was called a son because he was a man and he come from God. And he was so committed to God till he didn't think it robbery that him and God being the same person. And they were because God was the Word and he was the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and there's where God could take his own Word without anything, without any interruption. He was constantly doing what the Father wanted done. And there the Word could work through him there, till him and the Father was one. That's what. And then he took that perfect life and all of our sins and placed it upon that perfect life, and he died that we renegades could die to ourselves and be born of above. And his word could work through us the works of God. Now remember, we've read several quotes already where Brother Branham himself is quoting from this very verse of Scripture, and he says he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, to become the same person. Now let me ask you, Do you even have any clue in your mind whether it's possible for you to become the same person? I'm telling you this morning, God is here to project His love through you. And you become the projection of God to this world. You become the idol, or the icon, as Brother Brown called it. The idol, God, manifested in flesh. Now, in order to become the same person, right there it shows he was not the same person to begin with. After all, we read in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." So if God made him Lord and Christ, he wasn't that to begin with. And remember, the word Christ comes from the word anointing. And it means it could be used as the anointer himself, God. Could be meant as the one who is anointed, which is Christ. Or it could be the process of anointing. So it doesn't matter. Like Brother Vail told me years ago, he said, "Brian, get your eyes off the vessel. Get your eyes on the God behind the vessel." He said, the rock that followed the children in the wilderness, it was called Christ. The pillar of cloud, it was called Christ. The pillar of fire, it was called Christ. The burning bush, it was called Christ. But we're not to get our eyes on the burning bush, the pillar of cloud, pillar of fire. We're to get our eyes on the God behind those things. So it doesn't matter what vessel God is using. We should have our focus on God who is using that vessel. Now in his sermon, Super Sign, Brother Branham said, "Now let me tell you something. Anything outside of being born again will never reach the rapture. Unless there is a germ of life inside of you, you will perish. You cannot rise up again. And so I hope that you will understand why I constantly bring these things to your attention. Because after all, we will all have to give an account of what we have done with this great message that God has given to us. Every one of us, both small and great. We will have to give an account for what we have done in our bodies. And from contending for the faith." Then notice, Jesus said, as soon as he was done, he said to them, listen at his words, John 5:19, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father doing. Whatsoever the Father doeth, he showeth the Son." Is that right? Read it when you go home, the fifth chapter of St. John 5. Jesus said, "I can't do nothing in myself." Did he tell the truth? He had to tell the truth in order to be God. He had to tell the truth. His words were infallible. He said, "I can do nothing in myself." Therefore, he didn't heal one person in himself. He said, "The Father shows me by vision what to do. Then I go do it. Verily, verily, I say unto you," John 5:19, "the Son can do nothing in himself, but what he sees the Father doing, that doeth the Son likewise. The Father worketh, and I worketh hitherto." Now, what's your vision for you? It's this word. Now, then, the question you surely must be thinking by this time is then, how do I become so one with God that His life comes into me to take over my life? How can I get out of the way so that His life lives itself out in me? And the only way you can do that is by His grace. In Romans 5, verse 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith..." Now, remember, faith is a revelation. Something revealed to you. So we are justified by revelation. "And thus we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith." Notice that revelation gives us access into His grace, into this grace, he says. So what is this grace? He says, "Wherein we now stand." Well, notice he continues, "And rejoice in hope." We rejoice in the earnest expectation of the glory of the doxa of God, the opinion, the values, the judgment of God. And not only so, but we glory. That's not doxa, it's kauchamai. It means to boast. We boast in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So our earnest expectation makes us not ashamed. And our earnest expectation comes out of faith. "For there remaineth faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love." Faith is the revelation. That's where you start with. And hope is the earnest expectation that comes out from the revelation. Because if you truly have something revealed to you, then you cannot help but to earnestly expect it to produce what it said it would. And then when you earnestly expect, then you are not ashamed. And that expectation builds up an energy, and that energy cannot but begin to give to itself. And that is what love is. Love is an outward expression of the revelation, put into action by the energy produced by the revelation coming forth in expectation. How can we have the mind of God then unless we have the Spirit of God? Look, let me just explain this. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Does that mean that we don't need faith? No. Faith is the revelation. The young man says, "Oh, she's the one I'm going to marry. It's revealed to me." If it's truly revealed to him, then it develops into an earnest expectation. He's earnestly expecting this thing to happen. And what does that earnest expectation do? It begins to build up an energy. And how does that energy express itself? He begins to give her chocolate and begins to, you know, give her candies and begins to give her flowers and things like that. He begins to do. You see, love is always expressed in giving. For God so loved the world, He gave. And love is the expression of the revelation produced by the earnest expectation. That's why love is a motivating factor. From Christ is the mystery of God revealed, Brother Branham said, the new birth is Christ. It's a revelation. God has revealed to you this great mystery, and that's the new birth. Now, what are you going to do when you get all that group together where the revelation is perfectly in harmony? And God is expressing it through His Word by the same actions, the same thing that He did, making the Word manifest. Oh, if the church only knew its position, and it will one day, then the rapture will go when it knows what it is. I like that. Why do you think that I go to these bug-infested, hot and sweaty, disease-infected places? Places you've never even heard of to teach the doctrine of Christ. Because I know that when the church knows its position, He said, we'll go home. And it will one day. From Christ is the mystery God revealed. Brother Branham said, look, Christ in you makes Him the center of life of the revelation. See, Christ's life in you makes Him the center of the revelation. Christ in the Bible makes the Bible a complete revelation of Christ. Christ in you makes you the complete revelation of the whole thing. Hallelujah. See what God's trying to do? What is the new birth then? You say, well, Brother Branham, what is the new birth? It is the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Amen. See, not you joined a church, not you shook a hand, you done something different, you said a creed, you promised to live by a code of rules, but Christ, the Bible, He is the Word that was revealed to you. And no matter what anybody says, what takes place is Christ. Pastor, priest, whatever it might be, is Christ in you. That is the revelation that the church was built upon. From 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man that's in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knows. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now the carnal man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, but we that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. But what's he saying? Unless you have the Spirit of Christ in you, the Spirit of God, there's no way that you can understand the things of God. Then there's no way that you can project, because it's not you projecting. But you see, if Christ is the revelation, if the new birth is Christ revealed in you, to you, in you, that's the new birth, Christ revealed in you. Not Christ revealed in Brother Branham. Not Christ revealed in Brother Vale. It's Christ revealed in you, to you. That's why John said that he that's born again will never deny that Christ is living in flesh, because it's in your flesh. How can you deny yourself? How can you deny when you see things happen in your life that you say, wait a minute, now that I how could I say those words? I never thought about those things. What caused that to happen in me? What caused that to come out of my mouth? Well, it's either Christ or the devil. You see? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't understand it. It's a mystical, mythical thing until you're born again. There the very life of God comes in you. Everlasting, eternal life. Zoe, God's own life comes in you. And then you're a part of God. You're a son of God or a daughter of God. And then you see as God sees. And you believe as God believes. That's from Contending for the Faith. Contending for the Faith, Brother Brown preached it. Then you see what God sees. And you believe what God believes. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. But if you have my spirit, then you'll have an ability to think my thoughts. And how is that possible? Because you have the mind of Christ. Because you have the Spirit of God living in you. From behold, I stand at the door, Brother Branham said, we become so earthbound with our finite ways of thinking to His great infinite mind till we just get one little course set up and we feel like we're just doing fine. But if we could only look and see as God sees, how much different things would look to us and be to us. That is why Jesus prayed in John 17. He said in John 17:11, and now I am no more in this world, but these are in the world, and I come unto thee, O Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. Not one like your fingers one, but one as we are one. So how is it that we might be one in the same manner as Jesus and the Father was one? Well, in verse 14 he says, I have given them thy word, and the world hateth them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So Jesus tells us we become one with God through the same word that he became one with God. And notice verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, as the world may that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory, the doxa, the opinion, judgment, and values which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. There you go. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. It'll make you one with God. Therefore, it is very apparent that we are one by receiving the same word, which brings us into the same glory or the same mind as the Father. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Now, in wrapping up here, from harvest time, Brother Brown said, Jesus said that they might be one, Father, as you and I are one. Not for some man to be over something. It never will work. One denomination wants to take over the other one. And one man wants to be over the others. But that you might be one with God, like Christ and God was one. That's what the prayer is. He was the Word, and Jesus prayed that we might be the Word reflecting Him. That's His prayer to be answered. But you see how Satan scruples it up in the carnal mind? That wasn't Jesus' prayer at all, that we all might congregate together and all have a certain creed and so forth. Oh, we all got the same Godhead. We all got, you know, the same Prusy teaching. We all got this, you know, hogwash. That's not what it's about. Those things are right, but that's not what it's all about. It's that God might reflect Himself in you. You see, it helps to understand the doctrine. Because to understand the doctrine, then you know the parameters. You know how God does these things. He wants us to be one with God, and God is the Word. Each individual in his heart must be that one with God. And from divine love, Brother Brown said, the Bible said that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Now, God's love to the world, and God is love. And when God projected Himself to the world to save the world, there could be nothing else but sovereign grace to produce a Savior. When God loves, something has to operate. And God so loved the world that a divine Savior appeared. His grace provided that Savior. It was because of His love that brought forth this Savior. Now, in the day that we're living in, and in all days, we were born to be sons and daughters of God. We are offspring of God. And being offspring of God, there's something about us that believes God. There's something in you that calls out for something. As Brother Branham said, he said, Moses looked out the same window that Pharaoh looked out. But to Pharaoh, it was just a bunch of mud daubers. Moses saw the children of promise. And you'll see the children of promise if you have the same revelation, if God reveals to you what he revealed to Moses. From the message, look, Brother Brown said, Pharaoh did not have this potential. He was offered it, but he refused it. And when he refused it, then he couldn't focus. No man, after he's turned down the word of God, can ever focus himself into it, because you refuse the word that brings you into relationship with Christ. That's right. So, but Moses looked out of this window. He believed it. Why? Moses looked by faith. That's how Moses looked. Now listen real close to this remark. Faith. Now, don't forget to get this now. Faith is designed to see what God wills and wants. There is no knowledge that can do that. Faith alone is designed and given to the human race to find out what the will of God is. And you take your faith that you've got and it don't focus on the word, then leave it alone. You've got the wrong faith. But when your God-given faith focuses you with the word of God, you're directly in line and you're zeroed in. Oh my, God help us in this hour, this great hour that we live. Faith is designed to see what God wants. How do you see it? Through the camera of his word, his promise. This is the full revelation of Jesus Christ. What does he mean? God said before the foundations of the world, I've got a provided lamb. A lamb that's slain. The bloody lamb, slain before the foundations of the world. And Brother Branham said, God was waiting on Jesus to step into it. He said, Moses, when Moses went to God, he said, why cry to me? Speak and go forward. And Brother Branham said, God was waiting for Moses to step into the water for the water to part. He said, God was waiting on Jesus in Gethsemane to make up his mind. I think God's waiting on us to make up our mind. Are you a son of God or are you not a son of God? If you're a son of God, then walk in it. Take a hold of your position. Take a hold of your role. And begin to reflect the nature that is there. Notice, faith sees what God wants you to see. Faith sees what God sees. And reasoning and senses see what the world wants you to see. Notice why it's only human. It's only this and that. Well, but that's just exactly when you use those senses, which is contrary to the word. That's what the world wants you to see. But faith don't look at that. Faith looks what God said. He said, casting down everything that would exalt itself against the word of God. That's why in Isaiah 42 and verse 19, we read a few weeks ago, who is blind but my servant? Or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect? And blind as the Lord's servant. The NIV put it this way. Who is blind like my servant and deaf like my messenger that I sent? Who is blind like the one that is committed to me? Blind to everything but what God wanted him to see. Deaf to everything but what God wanted him to hear. If we could only yield our vessels as he did. From a total deliverance, Brother Brown said, Jesus was completely, totally man. He could cry like a man. He could eat like a man. He could become like a man. He was completely, totally man in his physical being. And in his spirit, he was completely, totally God. So he made his flesh submissive to the spirit that was in him. Wow. He made his flesh submissive. Sanctification is not an easy thing, because you have something to do with it. The Bible says the bride hath made herself ready. He made his flesh submissive to the spirit that was in him. You see, he was tempted in all manner like we are. He was a man, not an angel. He was a man. He had desires and temptations just like we do. The Bible said he did. He was a man, not an angel, above temptation. Hebrews 1 said that he was. 1:4, that he was made lower than the angels. He was a man, completely man. That God took a complete man to bring total deliverance, and he filled him with his spirit. The Holy Ghost was in him without measure, and he was tempted like we were. And he was completely God. He proved it when he raised the dead, when he stopped nature, the roaring seas, the mighty winds, when he spoke to the trees and so forth, that they obeyed him. He was God inside, and he could have been man, for he was a man. But he was totally and completely delivered himself as a man into the hands of God for the service of God. And he's our example. We are men and women. We are also Christians. If he's our example, let us completely deliver ourselves into the hands of the Holy Ghost, that we might be subjects of the kingdom of God. He was totally man. He was totally God. But he surrendered his natural parts and his physical parts and his own thinking and his own doing and his own cares. And I do only that which pleases the Father. Oh, brother, if we could just do the same. Jesus was so committed to his Father that he did nothing but what God showed him to do. He spoke nothing but what God commanded him to speak. He taught no doctrine but what God gave him to teach. And he did not choose his own will, but he let go of his will in favor of the Father's will. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to take these thoughts that were presented today. May they truly, Lord, just help us come to the place where we can just let go and let God. We know in our soul, Father, that you govern us by your word in our soul. And when we do wrong in the flesh, Father, it remorses us within inside. And we grieve within ourselves for having displeased thee. Father, we just pray that you'd help us, Lord, to bring these bodies into subjection. As Paul said, who can deliver me from the body of this death? But I thank God through Jesus Christ who giveth me the victory. And so, Father, we pray that, as Brother Branham said, he brought his own body under control to the spirit that was in him. Help us, Father, to bring our bodies, make them captive, O God, so that we could be the blind servant and the deaf servant, who sees nothing but what you want us to see, who hears nothing but what you want us to hear. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you all.